In order to get to your vision, whatever vision that is for you, you have to be a leader. You have to be a leader. Now, when you hear about people going to leadership training, I used to think of people like in suits, boring people, leadership. I'm like, that didn't apply to me, right? So I just kind of deaf-eared it. But what I realize is that being a leader is essential. It's mandatory if you want to get to this. And here's what I mean. What do I mean when I say leadership? Everything is vocabulary, so let me define it for you. When I say leader, I'm going to use a definition that I love by Alan Keith, and he says this. You are a leader when you provide a creative way for people to contribute to making something extraordinary happening. I'm going to say that again. A leader provides a creative way for people to contribute to making something extraordinary happen. Notice I didn't say manipulation. I didn't say using authority. I didn't say using fear. And who's ever had a boss who uses those types of things? Ever in your life? Okay. Right? There you go. Somebody who is just like, do this. Right? Do that. They don't listen to you. This is just how it is, right? That's old leadership. We're evolving. Effectiveness and power is the name of the game. Power is the name of the game. So when it comes to a CEO of an organization, they are providing a creative way for their people to contribute to making something extraordinary happen. A mother, one of the greatest leaders in the world. Mother. She is providing a creative way for her children to make something extraordinary happen with their life. And a leader doesn't use manipulation or control. That's the lowest form of leadership because it requires absolutely no skill. The hard part is to inspire, is to pull possibility. You're pulling somebody, something from somebody, the very best that they can pull. You're discovering and pulling out possibility. Benjamin Zander. He is the conductor of the Boston Philharmonic, one of the greatest conductors in the world. And he has been a conductor since 1979. And he said his world changed when he made this huge realization. Everything changed. He'd been conducting for 20 years. And it was 1999, after 20 years. He was 45 years old. And he said, everything changed when I made this one realization. He said, I realized that conductors don't make a sound. He said he didn't make a sound. He's like, he was on the CD covers like that, or like this, funky poses, but he didn't make a sound. He discovered that his power relied upon him making other people powerful. And as soon as he made that distinction, everything changed. People said, Ben, what happened? And he said, that's what happened. He said, I discovered my power is directly proportional to me making the people in my orchestra powerful. He said, when I could pull possibility for them, everything changed. And he became one of the greatest conductors in the world after that. And they said, well, how do you know you're pulling possibility? And he says, you could see it in their eyes. He said, when you look into their eyes, they tell you if you're being effective. Their possibility is coming out through their eyes. You can just tell, like that man's eyes right there. It lights up the universe. Look at that. Beautiful eyes. Beautiful hair. I want hair like that. I would have a mane. I would be the seminar guy. I would have slow motion videos of my hair. But when you pull possibility, that's what makes you a leader. And some of you are like, Peter, I get it, right? But I don't want to be a leader. I don't want to be a CEO. I don't want to be a mom. I don't want to be a conductor, right? I don't want to be a conductor. Why are you telling me this about leadership? I just want to get to my goals by myself. Why? I don't know why I start talking like that. Sometimes leaders talk like this. My thing is like, I totally get it, but let me ask you a question. Leadership is when you provide a creative way for somebody to make something extraordinary happen. Doesn't that have to happen with you first? Don't you have to provide a creative way for you to make something extraordinary happen? Yeah, totally. Thank you for saying yes. That's absolutely it. When your ass wants to sleep in bed and it's 4:30 in the morning, you got to get up. You have to provide a creative way for your ass to get up and make something extraordinary happen. Do you not? Yeah, you do. That's leadership. And so you got to be a leader for whom? For you. That's level one self-mastery, is you have to start as the performer first before you can manipulate. Nope. Before you can pull possibility from other people, you have to pull it from yourself. There's so many people who want to be leaders and who want to tell people what to do, who want to make films, who want to get be CEOs, whatever they want to do. They want to get to their vision. They want to do that, but they're not doing anything from their own life. Just because you're walking faster than everybody else and saying, I'm the leader, that doesn't mean anybody's going to listen to you. You have no influence unless you influence yourself. That's right. So everybody has to be a leader, guys. Every single person on earth. Pulling possibility. So my question is, okay, everybody has to be a leader, but what is leadership? What does that mean? Let's dive, right? John C. Maxwell, he says it very simply. He says leadership is your measure of influence. Nothing more, nothing less. That's it. Leadership is your level of influence. Because you have to influence yourself to get on that treadmill. You have to influence yourself to write those emails at the end of the day, don't you? When you don't feel like it. How many times people haven't felt like it, and you're like, man, I told them I'll get back to them, but I just don't feel like it. You just lay down in bed, and you're like, you remembered? Oh. You have to have that influence. I don't care if you went in there with a bad attitude. You got there. That's right. Doesn't matter what you look like before you did it. So if influence is the measure of leadership, then what is influence? That's the name of the game. If you understand what influence is, guys, you have the keys to the kingdom. And guess what? I got the keys. Today, we're going to learn what is the influencer of people, including you and other people. I know it, with a capital K, I know it, and I'm going to share it with you. As a matter of fact, it's going to be the first thing that we learn today. If you learn anything from today, take this, guys. It will dramatically change your destiny. Without hyperbole, without exaggeration, I'm guaranteeing that. This will dramatically affect your life. Out of all the things that influence human beings, there's not even a second place that comes close. You could add second, third, fourth, and fifth place and put them all together, and it doesn't even come close to what I'm about to tell you. And I discovered it by accident. So remember when I told you that my dream was to be a public speaker, but I was Mr. Scaredy Pants and I had panic attacks like a little baby? Yes, remember? Yes! So I made a vow and I said, okay, I'm going to do it, but it didn't mean it was easy. It was one of the hardest things that I ever had to do. I want to be a public speaker. Where do you start when you're going to be a public speaker? That's right. You go out on the stage. Thank you. Oh, that's resourceful right there. You'd be surprised. Right, you go out on the stage. And how can you go out on the stage? You go to speaker school, right? So I went to Toastmasters. Who's heard of Toastmasters? Say yes. Yes. Toastmasters is an organization that teaches you how to be a speaker. Every man, woman, and child in the world should be required to take a Toastmaster curriculum at one point in their life. And I really mean that. So I went into the Toastmasters cafeteria, and I'm sitting down as a guest, and there's like 60 people in the room, and they're all facing forward, and there's a lectern, a guy's up here, and he's behind the lectern, he's like the Toastmaster, and he's like, everybody, welcome, I'm a Toastmaster. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, he's so confident. I wish I was like that. And it was just effortless, and he was calling on people, and people were coming up, and they were speaking, and they weren't having heart attacks, and I was like, man, that's awesome. And I'm just sitting there in the back, And they get to this one section of Toastmasters called Table Topics. And Table Topics is when somebody goes up and they randomly call on people in the audience to answer a question within a minute, extemporaneously. And I thought to myself, that's awesome. And I'm so glad I don't have to do it. And they started calling on people where people were standing up. The lady's like, all right, go ahead and stay, you know, I'm going to ask you a question. Asked her a question, and they would stand up. Everybody would clap. On and on and on. I'm like, thank God they're not calling on me. And then the lady's like, well, everybody, I just want to let you know that we actually call on guests. And we have a couple guests. Peter, would you like to answer a question? And I said, yeah. She's like, great, okay. Well, indeed, do, 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 do. What would you say to that? And I looked at everybody, and they were like, you know, really supportive. They're like, oh, God. So I was like, okay. And I got up, and they're like, okay, thank God they don't know I'm nervous yet. I'm faking it pretty good. And I start talking, and I say, well, and then my hand starts shaking, and I just put it away. I'm like, okay, they don't know that I'm nervous yet. And I'm talking, and then pretty soon, and I couldn't talk anymore. And then the lady's like, and I'm like, ah. And then the guy that's in front of me, he's the first to know, and he went like this, and he went, ah. And I was like, and I'm trying to continue, and I went, ah. And I couldn't, and I stopped, and then he went with, I'm no exaggeration, he went like this. And I'm like, you're right in front of me. You know what I mean? He's right in front of me, and he covers his eyes. And then everybody found out that I was totally scared, and I just sat down, and the lady was like, and everybody turned their back. They continued the meeting, and I was so ashamed, and I was so humiliated. And I went home later on, and I'm like, God! Why would you give me a dream and put the biggest fear on earth in front of it? You're sick. You are so ironic. But later on, I found out that that is the magic. That's the magic. I'll get more to that later. That's the beauty behind it. But then I went, the scientist part of me is like, there has to be a way. I'm going to figure out how the best speakers in the world do this. Like, what creates a speaker? What makes a speaker a good speaker? And bottom line, your power as a speaker is your influence and impact on your audience. That's it. Just like leadership. So what do? I started watching speeches. I started learning about them. I went to hundreds of speeches, literally from the best speakers in the world, from Tony Robbins all the way to Oprah and everybody in between, Les Brown, all the great speakers, trying to figure out what makes them so powerful and confident. And it came down to one day, and I'll never forget it. It changed my life. We learn through contrast, don't we? We learn when it's so close together, it's really hard to see the lesson, but when the contrast is huge, we get it. So I went in, and it was one of those speakers events where you see 10 speakers in a row all day, and every single speaker did this to me. You know the kind. And then I did this PowerPoint, people free, you know, people losing their cool. And then suddenly, a man walked on stage. His foot hit my eyeball, and his foot electrified me. And I slowly started grabbing my notebook and started taking notes. And I noticed that everybody's eyes immediately shot up and looked at him. And I thought, holy cow, this is it. And when he went on stage, he was here, and he was electric, and it's like he had lightning bolts coming out of his fingertips, and lights were exploding, right? And he was electric, and everybody was laughing and hanging on every word. You could see it in their eyes. He was creating possibility, wasn't he? He was creating leadership. He was pulling the best out of us, and we reciprocated. At the end, we were all clapping. He bowed, and he left. He was only up there for 20 minutes. But I'll never forget it, ever. And I said, that was it. I said, that's it. Had it not been for those dead speakers, the zombies, if they hadn't been next to him, I don't know if I would have saw that lesson, but I did. And I couldn't articulate it until 3 weeks later. 3 weeks later, I figured it out. And I felt I knew the panacea. I had the secret to life itself. I didn't master it yet. I mastered it later in the process of mastery, because you're never perfect, guys. But I discovered the process of mastery, and I said, I can do that for me. I wasn't there yet, but I could apply it to me. And guess what it was? The number one way to influence and impact a human being, guys, there's not even a second place, is this. It's your energy state. It's who you are energetically and emotionally from moment to moment to moment. That is how you influence somebody. Now, what do I mean by that? When you have three or more people in a room, guys, whoever is more energetically certain will naturally influence the other people in the room. If there is rapport, they will influence them. It's not a conscious decision. It just happens. If you are a salesman, your job is to influence and impact your customer. That's it. As an actor, your job is to influence and impact your
audience.
That's right. As a mother or father, your job is to influence and impact your children, whatever that is, in any situation, with your spouse, with who's the most important person you would influence and impact?
Yourself.
Thank you for saying that out loud. Yourself. The number one. There's not even a number two. Let's make it even easier, guys. What's all this energy shit? What's this, like, woo-woo seminar? Let's bring it back down to earth. I'm going to make it simple. If we had a depressed person sitting here, the most depressed, sad, fearful person in the world, right there, don't judge that person. I see it in your face. Don't cover your eyes. What do they look like? Describe it. Head down, hunched over. What else? What else? Guys, you know. Frowning, grumpy. Thank you. What else? Low energy, totally. What does that look like?
Small.
They cocoon, don't they?
Invisible.
God, you're just trying to tighten up. Don't look at me, right? You're in a hall. You're holding on to your notebooks. Somebody hits your shoulder, and your books fly everywhere, and you got to throw yourself on the ground and pick them up like an 80s movie. Right? I've spent a lot of my life like this, but now, over here, there is the most confident person in the world. What do they look like?
Yes! Gang, 1, 2, 3, yes!
Thank you. What do they look like? Their shoulders are back. What else? Their head up, they're smiling. What else? Open and bright. They're expanding, aren't they? They're expanding. You ever sit next to somebody? Thank you. This is a burlesque theater, by the way. So they're sitting, they expand. You ever sit next to somebody on a plane and they're like, ugh. They take up room. They can't even expand anymore. They're expanding. And did you know that there are medical instruments, there are instruments and machines that can measure your energy, the electromagnetic energy from your muscles, your tissues, your brain? It's just energy's energy, and it can measure it in confidence. Confidence measures up here. Charisma measures up there, doesn't it? Joy measures up there. Excitement and passion measures up there. This is a high energy state. This is your zone of genius, guys. When you are up here, you are a magnet. You're an antenna for ideas and creativity and thoughts. You're resourceful up here. It just comes to you. But if you're measured at sadness and depression and fear, these things can be measured low, literally. Anger, sadness, depression, these are things that down here. You have no resources down here, guys. None. When I first started going to Toastmasters and learning how to speak, I had to memorize every single word. Because if I lost track, I would go into a That was a little vague, wasn't it? Stupor. Yes. I would fall down. Yes, I would go into a stupor. My fear would take over, and that would be a low resourceful state. There's nothing down there. There's no ideas. There's nothing. When somebody has writer's block, guess where they're at?
Low energy.
There's no resources down here. They're like, oh, what? Who? When you picture in your brain somebody who has writer's block, what do they look like?
Yeah, I can't think of a thing. Yeah.
No, what do they look like? Oh, God damn. They have their paper. They're crumpling it up. The wastebasket is full. They're like, God. Low resourceful state. This is your zone. Did you know that the Greeks never called somebody a genius? They never said that. We invented that. We call Mozart a genius. We call Einstein a genius. Who else is a genius?
Peter!
Bill Gates, geniuses, right? Geniuses, exactly. We're not geniuses. They are great. I'm in the stands, right? And I started a few years ago, my like belief started switching, and I would say, you know, Albert Einstein, he's smart, but do you know he has a quote that says, I'm not a genius? I just stick with problems longer than other people. That's it. He just stuck with them longer. He would walk himself into a room and pace, literally, for days on a question. People would have given up 3 days previous, right? He didn't give up. And I said, well, did you know he's not a genius? We all have this genius. They'd be like, Peter, you are silly. That's Albert Einstein. He has the brain of a watermelon. Not like our little brains. Guys, you have genius in you. You have genius. Did you know the Latins said they had what they called genius is that spirit that we're born with and that we carry with us until we die. We all have it. All we need to do is drill for it, guys. And the drilling for it is getting your energy up here. Communicating with people is a form of influence on somebody. Did you know that 7% of all communication is verbal? Did you know this? 93% is nonverbal. Here's an example. There's a girl here, right? And I'm going to say, hi, how's it going? You look very pretty. Right? You ready? So I see a girl, and I'll be like, hi, how's it going? Oh, you look very pretty. Right? The words are the 7%, but that was my energy. What if I said it like this? How's it going? You look really pretty. Right? The words are the same. We learn in contrasts. I know it's obvious. It's not about the words. Guys, I could have given you a PDF about this speech today. I could have sent it to you, saved you a bunch of time. You could have looked over it, had your coffee, and then gone on to your day. Right? But we know that's not the speech. Because my job as a speaker is to influence and impact you. That's it. That's all my job is. And for me to be able to do that really at a really high level, I need to bring my energy up here from the start. So the idea is, how do we bring our energy from up here to here? That's it. That's the game. That's the technique of peak performance ritual. You apply that to anything in your life and you're going to find success. That's it. That's the combination. So here's what we're going to do. Everybody go ahead and stand up, everybody. Yes! Yes! So here's what we're going to do. We're going to access that energy. Don't make it complicated. It is so simple. It's so simple if you do this. Now, here's the thing. As human beings, we experience the myriad of emotions, don't we? Up and down, left and right. We're sad. We're happy. But the idea is to consistently live up here. How do we do that? All we have to do is excite our energy, and we increase our influence. So this is the very start. We're going to make it more complicated later. I'm going to give you tools, but it starts with the energy. Let's go ahead and start, shall we? So what we're going to do is called a game of celebration. Celebration energy. We don't need an experience. We have to celebrate more often. This excites our nervous systems. Now, here's the deal. One of the greatest keys that if you use it, it will make you an unstoppable monster. This is the thing that, quote, solved my fear. There's so much latent energy in your chest. There's a chakra here when you use your voice or when you use your primal scream. So when you celebrate, remember, who remembers when the Seahawks won the Super Bowl? Who was downtown? Yeah. What did it look like? It was insane. People didn't even know each other. And Seattle's like this. People avoid you when they walk down the street sometimes. And you know what I mean? And I kind of, sometimes I avoid them too. But during that day, it was on. I didn't even know you, and it was awesome. We were best friends because we were celebrating. That's the energy we need to condition. Now, here's the deal. Celebration energy, when you just do it every once in a while, serves you very, very, very little. It's kind of cool, but it doesn't do anything for your life. We have to turn it into a conditioned habit. Do you see the difference? This is not something you celebrate, and then you go back to driving your really fast car. Right? People want to be around, I had this whole section on how to influence somebody. People want to be around people who are playful. They do. It's the number one way to influence people. People walk around like this. And what gets people to trust you is when you play with them. You go through a series of rapport. When you create banter or play with somebody, and then you start talking about the weather, you create an emotional bond with somebody. And the number one currency in human beings, guys, is trust. And if you want people to trust you, you play with them. That sounded weird. Sounded strange. But you play with them. One of my dear friends, Rick Walters, he says, I flirt with guys before we go into a business meeting. And I'm like, well, I don't understand. What do you mean flirt? And I said, oh, I get it. You play with them. So celebration is play. Now, when people are celebrating, what do they do? What are the rules? What are the rules? Loud. They're loud. They're releasing energy. What's another rule? Right. Their map of the world, their rules, the things that they follow, their guidelines, their blueprint changes when it's celebration time. If I was just come up to people randomly like, yeah! He'd be like, Bo, what are you doing? And he'd be like, yes!
Yes!
Yes! If it was one of us, yes. If it was somebody else, you might have a different reaction. Because your rules have changed. So what we're going to do is we're going to create rules for celebration, okay? So what we're going to do is we're going to use celebrate. I want you to expand, right? Remember we talked about that. You don't have to be confident. This will solve, quote unquote, your fear. When you expand, you're replicating creation, which expands. The universe expands. Trees grow. So what we're doing is we're mimicking creation itself, aren't we? So let's unlock this energy. Let's mimic creation. Give each other high fives, our favorite team, and it doesn't have to be the Seahawks. But let's make it the Seahawks, whatever that team, right, whatever it is for you. We're going to just wrap it out and take it to a whole new level, a whole standard. We only have a few more hours, and then you get to leave and be normal. But exactly. But here we're not. We're a gang. We're yes, okay? So what we're going to do is we're going to start this thing, and when we start, celebrate like your best favorite team just won the World Series of the Universe. You ready?
Yes.
Here we go. In 3, 2, here we go. Ready? And... and yes. Oh. That was it, guys. Oh my God, that was it. We got it. Now here's one more piece of the puzzle, and then you're going to have to, then you got it. You ready for the piece of the puzzle? This is the thing that's going to light you on fire. The thing that's going to light you on fire is a trick. It's a trick. Your brain remembers stuff that is highly emotional. That tells your brain that this is different. If you just went around memorizing everything, your brain would fill up with nonsense. But when there's something emotional, your brain goes, oh, that's unique, let's remember it. So when you are at your highest physical peak state, the thing that will anchor that feeling into your body, like building confidence resources, like squirrels do for the wintertime, and you can save it for a rainy day, is when you do something unique with your physiology, something that you would never do. Every morning for 5 minutes, I incant. I celebrate like this. even when I don't want to. Do you want to see what I do?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. So celebration is useless to you unless you condition it. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Celebration as a habit is what's going to change your life. This is Influence 101. So this is me when I wake up. Paul, just be standby. I wake up in the morning at 4 every morning, even when I go to bed at 1 from working. But I have my vision. And I get up and I'm God, Jesus Christ. Oh, if they only knew, self-development man, speech man. If they only knew how nasty I felt in the morning. So I go to my computer workstation. I'm like 5 minutes on my iPhone. And I'm like, God, fine. Pandora with my junk, right, with this song. And then I go like this. Oh, shit. Oh, God damn it. Click. Click. Click play. Thank God I don't have to do it. Moving on for the day. Here we go. Celebration song. Click. Ah, 4 in the morning, God damn it. Yeah! Yeah! Here we go, guys! Come on! Up! Here we go! One more time! 10 seconds! 10 seconds! Come on, Matt! Here we go, guys! Here we go! Yes! Yes! And 3, 2, yes! That's it. That's a secret to life. Everybody have a seat. Beautiful.